Nintendo stuff.
Welcome to Nintendo Stuff episode 80. My name is Brandon Miracle, and today I am joined by co-founders Logan Welliver and Paul Anderson, as well as our good friend and special guest, Cosmic underscore Bones. The underscore is not silent. And Cosmic is also joined by our good friend of the show, Gore Magala.
Stars in the hit movie, Monster Hunter, in theaters now. Go see it.
No, don't. Save yourself. Okay.
It's not worth it.
So, in lieu of doing a traditional news episode this week, it's been kind of a quiet week, so I think we're going to dedicate this entire hour to the monstrosity that is the Monster Hunter movie.
You mean we're going to make a better hour than the entirety of the movie?
Can I drink alcohol on this podcast?
I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to stop you.
Okay.
If anyone asks, it's water.
Kahneman says he thought that Monhun was digital. It is not. It is still only in theaters.
That was a choice that spoke volumes.
You know, the movie was so popular that the AMC rental cost 99 whole dollars.
And just to put that in perspective, what were other movies going for?
$250.
Yeah, it wasn't like Tenet at one point, $200, $250. And then like...
Yeah.
They had a whole bunch of random movies in there.
So the good movies are $250, and then the movies that just aren't going to perform are $99. And I was like, $99 split across at least 10 people? You know what? That's a good deal. So we went for it. I have to say, the actual AMC theater private rental thing was a really nice experience, smooth experience. So that's the best part of the Monster Hunter movie so far. Was that
here. I mean, we got to be a little rowdier, right? Because like the only people we were bothering were people we knew personally. I also wouldn't have like even considered going to see a movie in theaters if it wasn't like this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
People I knew and whatnot. And I still don't know if it was worth it.
It's gonna be worth it for this episode, that's for sure. So, as everyone in our chat probably knows, we're big fans of Monster Hunter, the video game franchise.
What?
We were going into this movie with pretty low expectations across the board, I think. I mean, what was everyone thinking going in?
I knew it was going to be bad, right? Like, we had kind of already had the discussion, like, we are not expecting this to be a good movie by any means.
Yeah,
I think what we expected like the most out of was like, it seems from the trailers that they got the monster designs really like spot on. But outside of that, I was not confident that this would be like anything actually interesting.
I was hoping, like, I already knew it wasn't gonna be a good Monster Hunter movie. I was hoping for like just okay movie. That was my standard going in.
Harley, what about you?
I set the bar way too high.
I just wanted decent fan service because I, like the rest of us, knew it was going to be bad. And, you know, there was something there, but not enough.
Yeah, this movie, in my opinion, has like this really awful bait and switch. Because the first scene of the movie is literally like watching the Fifth Fleet from Monster Hunter World approach the New World, just like that game opens. And then the ship gets attacked by a group of Diablos, and the primary hunter of the movie, whose name is just Hunter, they did not give him a name, played by Tony Jaa, am I pronouncing that right?
I think so.
Okay. He flies off the ship from the attack and is lost from the rest of his party or the rest of the guild. And I was like, okay, you know, the sand ship looks great. Those Diablos are awesome. These people are legit monster hunters. There's Ron Perlman, who's the admiral for some reason. And there's a bunch of other characters from Monster Hunter World, like the Excitable Fiver, the Serious Handler, the Handler, and Meowscular Chef. And I was like, all right, you know, this might be a Monster Hunter movie. I'm like, okay. And then they get into the title screen. It's the actual Monster Hunter logo with the guild symbol behind it. I'm like, all right, I'm fired up. This is Monster Hunter. And then the next 25, 30 minutes is Mila Jovovich, military captain, driving in a completely nondescript desert before transporting to the new world through this bizarro portal that is never completely explained. And then they're in Monster Hunter, and it's awful for the rest of the movie.
There is, like, so one, much. Like, part for me in that, like, first, in like, introductory bit that, like, stood out to me and kind of, like, jarred me. Like, I know it's, they're, like, taking a realistic, like, movie approach to, like, the monsters.
Yeah.
But in the sand ship, one of the guys gets, like, speared by a Diablo horn. And that, like,
oh, right.
That was just kind of like, where's the palicos? I'm thinking of put them on a cart and wheel them away. Nope, he's just dead. Okay.
Oh no.
I struggle with that specifically because, like, Diablos is supposed to be threatening, and I think seeing him kill one person is probably enough to set the tone that, hey, these monsters are fierce. And they're much bigger than you, and they can kill you easily. And the same idea kind of applies to Monster Hunter, the video game franchise, even though, like you said, you just get wheeled away by your palicos back to your base camp, and then suddenly you're just fine again. go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know really how to take some of those deaths, right? Because nobody really dies in Monster Hunter, right? Like, there's obviously those serious moments, those great moments, like, this is a huge risk and whatnot, but the worst that happens is, like, you failed the quest, right? So in a way, I feel like killing off those characters kind of betrayed, like, the tone and the spirit of Monster Hunter, right?
Sure, yeah.
There wasn't, oh, you got carded, you know, and whatnot. And not to make the monsters not feel, like, threatening, but, you know, like, they, around every, I guess it would be less bad if the rest of the movie was good, but the movie was so bad that, like, it just, all those little things were amplified by everything else.
I think that's just kind of, like, one of the things that they, like, really had trouble reconciling throughout the movie is, like, sometimes the weapons felt like they were incredibly, like, overpowered. Other times it felt like they were useless. The monsters felt super threatening, except for the one or two characters that have plot armor. We get introduced, like, all those soldier people. And I feel like just that introductory part in the desert was a waste of time because only one of them survived.
They, God, well, I guess we'll just start talking about the next section of the movie, which is, like you said, all of Artemis's companions falling victim to either Diablos or eventually a colony of Nursilla.
Oh, my God.
They just spend, need one of those?
Yeah, absolutely. We spend so long dealing with Nursilla. They make Nursilla out to be just this immense threat that they can't face, even though they're trying to position Diablos as our worst threat. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I don't think any other monster was as horrifying as just the horde of Nursilla.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of, like, they started, like, way up here, and then everything else is just progressively less threatening.
Also, is it just me, or does this section of the movie become a horror movie for, like, 15, 20 minutes?
He
it
forgot really he wasn't making Resident Evil.
It was straight out of, like, Alien, in all honesty. Like, just the creeping around in the darkness and the monster just popping up wherever it wants. It was like, this is a tone shift from from the campy military I just had. But okay.
They also, they kind of, like, there's these sequences where she's, like, succumbing to the venom. And she's, like, hallucinating. But the way the film cuts it, like, just rapid shots of different things that she might be seeing as well as herself. It's the same exact thing they did when she first was transported to the Monster Hunter world. And for me, it just doesn't work.
It was, like, visually annoying.
Yeah.
I, like the scene where they transport into the world, I hate it.
This whole movie was visually annoying. You said cuts, and I'm going to have to go on a tangent about it. But I almost walked out of this theater the first 30 minutes because of the constant cuts. There was a scene, everyone was still alive in the cave, or at least half of them were alive. And Mia walks, right? She walks to go next to a person, and it was like five different shots. It was cut, cut, step, cut, step, cut. I was going to throw up at this movie. I don't get sick like that from movies. I don't get sick like that from roller coasters, nothing. This movie, whoever edited it, needs to be put in prison, in all honesty.
I think at some point, like, it ended up just becoming, like, every action sequence was almost incoherent because of the number of cuts.
The worst offender for that, by the way, isn't even a fight against a monster, which you could understand for monetary reasons. Like, we can't have Diabolus on the screen all the time because it's too expensive. Whatever. But when Mila Jovovich is fighting Tony Jaa, there's like a million cuts during that fight. It is so aggravating to watch.
And why did they have to fight for as long as they did?
That's another big problem.
Also, like, the inconsistency between, like, okay, why is the hunter, like, capturing Mila Jovovich? And, like, why is he, like, upset and angry and all this other stuff?
It's never explained.
Yeah, there's no like, apparent reasoning as to why this is happening. And then Mila Jovovich is like, oh, I'm going to beat you up and, capture you. And then at a certain point at the end of our fight, I'm just going to decide, no, actually, I'm not your enemy. I'm like, what child is scripting this film? Because, like, it's so bad. Like, I'm thinking, like, we could go home right now and we could sit in a circle. And in half an hour, we could script out a movie just as long, but it'd be at least twice as good.
I came up with a better idea in the shower before the show started.
Yeah. Also, like, it could start like this, right? One, it's not an isekai. Or two, if it is an isekai, it's some person sitting playing their 3DS on their PS4 and they get sucked into the screen. End of story, right? Like, that would have made a million times more sense. Like, if it's going to be an isekai, make it so it's like, oh, dude, you're getting sucked into an actual video game world, not just some random other world that apparently exists, right? It's like every aspect of this movie around every corner just gets more aggravating. And I get angrier the more we talk about it and the more I realize how much it sucks.
Before we rewind, Paul, I think you had something to say.
So I think they did kind of set up that, like, when Ron Perlman was kind of talking about, like, the background of the world and, like, their relationship to Mila's world, mm-hmm. that, like, they kind of perceive that as, like, a lead to calamity for them. So it might be that, like, they perceive people from that world as a threat to their, like, very, like, survival. So there might have been a precedent to, like, capture her and, like, just figure out what her intentions are.
Oh, that's true.
But they were surrounded by hostile monsters. You think that, like, coming to the conclusion that, hey, we're on the same page would have happened significantly faster. Especially after they made it out of their little shelter into the world surrounded by the monsters.
So bringing it back to the Nursilla swarm, eventually Tony Jaa's hunter encounters Mila Jovovich, even though he's been stalking her this entire time, which makes it even more confusing that he captured her, because for the longest time it seemed like he was trying to defend her. But regardless, they do end up meeting, and they have the longest fist fight I have ever seen in any movie of all time. It is just bizarrely long. It's not exciting. It doesn't make sense. And like Harley said, there's just so many cuts that what's happening is completely incomprehensible.
It is.
I've never rolled my eyes so much.
doesn't even make sense canonically because, like, hunters are superhuman. I'm pretty sure, like, it's like noted in Monster Hunter canon. The hunters, they can take a beating. And then Mia Jovovich, she comes in and she dukes with this man and basically wins. And she's just a human from Earth. She's not a hunter. She hasn't taken any potions. She has done nothing special. She's just really good at fighting. That's just it. Oh, yeah, my God.
Army strong.
Army strong.
having her win the fight, like Harley said, doesn't make sense, especially from a Monster Hunter perspective. But we do have a few moments in the Hunter's base camp where we see him, what looks like praying to his deceased family members, which, whatever, you know, like, we don't know a lot about certain aspects of Monster Hunter culture. So I'm willing to give them that because, you know, they're trying to, you know, build a race of beings we're not too familiar with, and that's fine. However, we don't delve into that at all. Like, oh, my family's dead. Actually, we're never going to talk about that again for the rest of the entire movie.
It's like it was meant to be like some weird bonding moment for them because they both would like understand that like loss.
Yeah.
But then we never like delve into it because I felt like Artemis had like either like lost her husband or like there was a backstory for her that we just never touched.
Either. Right. Like we see her kissing her wedding ring and it seems like she's feeling more grief for her husband more so than all of her comrades who were brutally murdered.
Oh, man, they had some fun killing people in this movie. They that last one, T.I., how he died, that was vicious.
Yeah, that was nightmares. For context, the last death of her comrades before she escapes the Nursilla are Nursilla eggs imbued in his body, hatching and then killing him. It's as gross and nasty as it sounds, and it might be the worst thing in this whole movie.
That was definitely him forgetting it wasn't Resident Evil.
As the eggs are hatching from him, and the baby Nursillas are coming off of him, a big Nursilla comes from behind him and snatches him back and assumedly snaps his spine. It just drags him back into the darkness, and he's dead. He is dead. You don't survive that. I have
like
a theory.
Go ahead.
You wouldn't want to.
No. I have a theory as to why Nursilla had 40 minutes of airtime in this movie, and it's that Paul Thomas Anderson, the director, he is a noted Monster Hunter fan. He picked up...
Is he?
He picked up 4 Ultimate, right? And he got to Nursilla when you first fight Nursilla, and he couldn't get past her. So this whole time, the script's been on hold. He's like, guys, I got some story for you. I just can't beat Nursilla. And he never did. So that's why Rathalos is the big bad, and Nursilla's there too.
Right. Imagine if he had played Monster Hunter Tri and couldn't get past the great Jaggy.
I wish Jaggy was in this. That would be a fun movie. There was like no hip checks in this movie.
What to say? What if he couldn't get past like the Aptonauts, and then that the whole movie was just
monsters that don't even like fight back.
There you go.
Couldn't figure out how to play the game.
So after Artemis and the Hunter reconcile, even though they reconcile over chocolate, which was admittedly a cute moment, it just doesn't fit in the grand scheme of this entire movie.
Nothing fits in this movie.
I guess I should preface this by saying, and I think this is a huge sin of the movie, is that the hunters speak a different language, and Artemis and the hunter can't communicate through language. I understand why that choice is made. Like, it makes sense from... You know, just like a basic fact of life, you live somewhere else, you probably speak another language. But it just becomes this awful hurdle for the first few minutes of their encounter that then has no bearing on the relationship for the rest of the movie. They might as well have just spoken the same language.
I mean, it felt like kind of a cop-out when you have Ron Perlman who speaks the same language. Like, if he was able to learn the language, why isn't it, like, widespread? Why don't they, like, why aren't they able to, like, speak both languages?
The fact that they had to pull that just tells you it was a bad idea.
You know what would have been a funnier move? He could speak English the whole time. He was just messing with her.
That would have been funny. I would have at least laughed at that.
Yeah, that would have been really good. I thought everything was chocolate. You fool. That would have been great.
I feel like my brain is just, the tendency right now is to try and fix the movie. But there's no fixing this movie. There's absolutely nothing you can salvage from this movie that's any good that isn't already in the video games, right? You just need to, like, start from ground zero. Make another Monster Hunter film. You know, add a subtitle or something like that. Distance it from this movie. Don't let Paul Anderson... touch it again.
I 100% agree with that. Never let Paul Anderson touch this franchise ever again.
Like, you know, I think about what's happening with the Mario movie and the fact that, you know, we have Miyamoto, who is highly, highly involved in how this movie is being produced and whatnot. And everything's going to have to go through this man to make sure that, like, hey, this is Mario and you're not just, like, going to stray. Like, there's like a style guide, except it's a Mario guide. And there's going to be hyper focused, right? It may be generic, you know, in a Mario sense, but it's still going to be Mario. Mm-hmm. Something similar should have happened with this movie. They shouldn't have just come in and been like, oh, we helped with the monster designs, and then everything else was hands off. Why would you give them the license to this movie if that's what you were going to let them do there and butcher the movie? It's not like you're giving this to, like, a group of people who are, like, highly, highly experienced and also are filmmakers. No, you're giving it to some guy who decides, hey, I like that video game. How much does he like the video game? How much does he actually know about the video game? Did he just come up to you and say, I like the big monsters, I played a little bit of 4.
There is an article where he does talk about, so he knows something. Just don't know how much.
I've been saying for a while that I think this movie would have been better off if they had just made a CGI movie in the Monster Hunter world, no other, like, gimmicks, no live action, just, like, the world has so much life to it. Let's just be in that and go from there.
Yeah.
I almost just wanted an animated, like, film, like, just an anime. Just give me an anime, right? I don't need all this realism.
Give it the Castlevania experience.
People dying from a simple Diablos, like, horn. Like, how many times does Diablos hit you?
It doesn't even go through them. He just, like, pokes them and they hang on the edge of it.
Right. Like, how much times do you get, like, charged by Diablos? And it only takes your health down so much. Unless, of course, you have no armor on, of course. But then you just get carded. And why does it have to be realistic like that? Why do...
To be fair,
my God, let's just kill off everybody because, like, oh, we only need the one person. We only need Mila Jovovich.
It was Black Diablos. Like, none of these were actually vanilla monsters.
Right.
So
they went with the Dread King Rathalos, too.
And Shrouded
They went
Nersilla.
With, like, the darkest versions of all the monsters.
Except for Gore. It's just Gore Magala.
Oh, we haven't
even... because he's already dark.
I have a lot to say about that part
darkest,
of the movie.
The darkest colored monsters. That's what they chose. They were like, let's go with the monsters that are darkest and not even, like, try to consider that, like, I don't know, there's a bunch of different colors in these monsters, right? We should, like, choose a good selection, right? Right?
So the next segment of the movie is the Hunter and Artemis working together to figure out how to get past Diablos so that Artemis can go back in the direction that she came from when she first entered the new world. And this is the one segment of the movie that I think I liked even a little bit. And that's when Artemis and the hunter determine that they need to use Nersilla's venom on Diablos to make it go to sleep. So that they could eventually beat him. And I'm like, Real quick, that's Monster Hunter.
Did they actually get it to fall asleep?
No.
This made him woozy. That's all they did.
But I liked the scene of them like building the arrows and setting the traps. Like, to me, that felt like what I would have expected from a larger Monster Hunter movie, just squished down to like a 5-minute segment of the film
instead of the whole movie.
Yeah. And getting to the fight with Diablos, he does use the poison arrow on him, or the venom arrow, and it doesn't work. Diablos doesn't fall asleep. So the hunter ends up getting knocked out, and Mila Jovovich jumps on his head and pushes down the greatsword that is currently lodged in his skull that the hunter put in there earlier, and then just pushes it down more, and then Diablos dies. That's the fight. It's so poor.
We're not balanced.
To add to some of the gross factor, just so everyone knows, since we're just going to spoil this whole damn movie, so you don't have to watch it. The poison arrow hit Black Diablos in the eye, like straight in the eye. And there was like goop, and he has the two eyelid lizard thing going on, and he has a little blurry vision. That's it. There's no sleep. And then she jumps on his head and does some really weirdly brutal. Imagine if World, since it was like westernized, imagine if it went the brutal way this movie did with like killing monsters and stuff like that.
I don't know how I'd feel about that, because this feels like the antithesis to Monster Hunter to me. That said, I should mention the way she got on his head was using the claw shot, or the clutch claw from Iceborne. So at least they're trying to the tiniest degree at this point. But yes, they kill Diablos. The hunter is knocked out. And that's when another huge sin of this movie comes into play. She starts taking parts off of Diablos' body.
Gave you a little hope.
And here we all are thinking, oh my God, she's going to craft some armor or something. But no, she creates a body boat to drag the hunter, who's still unconscious, across the desert.
She had to carve to make the cart, since the hunter carted. She had to. They didn't have it. No cool Black Diablos armor.
Just to back up to the fight real quick, too. Can we talk about how much time and effort and explosives went into breaking the horn? And then it was just as easy as shoving a knife in his head?
Yeah, it's completely, like you said, unbalanced. Like, I feel like I never got an idea of what it actually took to take down these monsters, because the way they do it every time doesn't make much sense in the grand scheme.
It's such a struggle to get to it, and then it's just so easy to...
Yeah.
Did we skip over the dual blade training montage? This happened before the fight, didn't it?
Go for it.
Okay, so Tony Jaa, Mia Jovovich, they fight. They reconcile over chocolate and dead family from Rathalos. It's time for Mia Jovovich to get a weapon that can actually hurt the monsters, because bullets don't hurt monsters from Monster Hunter. We learned that in the beginning of the film. They shot tons of things at it. Rocket launchers barely do anything to Diablos. Mia Jovovich, she gets dual blades. So dual blades everywhere, like Paul, dual blade mains rather, like Paul, are super happy, right? They get representation as a movie. I don't, until the very, very end with the insect glaive, that 1 second you get, but that's much later. She starts a training montage. Tony's teaching her how to use dual blades, and it's got to be quick, because we've already wasted about a third of the movie's runtime on Nersilla. Or we're about to, at least. It's mixed up in my head. I don't want to remember this. Brandon's making me. So
we were still in the Nersilla section at this point. So
okay,
yes.
So we are Nersilla. I've tried to get rid of it. Turns out that demon mode is actually just fire,
It's just like lightning fire.
Yeah.
What? She lifts it up because you have to do the swings. You have to do the swing, and then you have to go like this and touch the blades, and then it's like red lightning fire, and that's demon mode. That's it. And it's so sad.
She uses demon mode, but like it's basically a replacement for how the element is activated on the weapon. And we should mention now that just about every Monster Hunter weapon in the movie is a fire weapon. Almost
which
all
is
of
really
them.
Great when their like main bad guy, main monster is Rathalos, whose element is fire.
Yeah, they never acknowledge the whole elemental idea at all. Just the fact that they have element.
We're smart enough to poison Black Diablos, but this fire monster, we're using fire weapons. That's what we're doing.
Should I also mention that Diablos is completely resistant to fire? Or it's
well thought out.
I guess we should also mention that during the fight with Diablos, the dual blades, did they get used at all? Because I don't remember if they do.
The Clutch Claw
did. She might have, like...
Tony used the Great Sword? Or it
was
a sword and shield.
The winning blow
is
the Great Sword.
She might have slashed his ankles a couple times.
She got knocked back, too. They both got knocked back.
Yeah.
Was it a Great Sword or was it a sword and shield just without a shield? Because it was small.
The Great Sword... Well, it was small, but it was the Bone Greatsword from Monster Hunter World.
Okay, all right. That makes more sense.
I guess we should also mention the Monster Hunter weapons are 100% lifted from their counterparts in World. Like, they are spot-on designs, much like the monsters are.
Early Bone weapons, I'm pretty sure, and that's it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing in the long run that, like, further on when they're fighting, like, greater monsters, they don't pull out, like...
Better weapons,
cooler weapons from late game.
Yeah,
because there could have been like they could have excused that with like the what is it, like the crew, the boat having like an arsenal on board.
What are you doing?
But oh, true. But we don't even get enough screen time with them to ever explore that. So they beat Diablos. She's dragging the hunter through the desert.
With the carved cart.
Yeah. With a carved part of Diablos. She resuscitates him using some of her medical equipment.
Instead of a potion.
Yeah. Don't get me started. and then they get to the ancient forest from Monster Hunter World. Out of nowhere.
It's just there.
It's just in the middle of a desert. I'm so confused.
They could excuse it as the Guiding Lands, I guess, if you really wanted to.
I guess they could. That said, this is the most Monster Hunter-looking part of the movie to me.
This is when, if your favorite monster is Aptanoth, it's in the movie.
Actually, if your favorite monster is Aptanoth, you're disappointed because it's Apsaros.
Oh, it's Apsaros? I thought it was Aptanoth.
No,
am I mixing
Aptanoths
up my monsters?
Are not in the movie.
Oh, no. It's the vegetarian monster. I mixed them all up.
They're both herbivores.
Okay.
But Apsaroses have, like, turtle shell backs. But, yeah, we see a colony of Apsaroses. They're drinking water. The hunter explains to Mila that they're herbivores, so she doesn't have to worry. And she's like, oh, wow, the Monster Hunter world looks so beautiful. This is what the world's all like, and the movie's trying to tell us that the Monster Hunter world isn't all gloom and doom and terror, even though it just spent the first hour and 15 minutes trying to tell us that this was a horror movie.
I mean, let's not forget, at this point, they still haven't touched a whetstone.
No, nope.
That's true. They haven't been sharpening their weapons.
Haven't even done a pose after eating chocolate. They just ate it. That's all they did.
Oh, we did... There is this moment during this section of the movie where the hunter starts cooking some meat, and we get like a quick barbecue spit shot with no accompanying music or anything. And she's like, it's so good. And I'm like, thanks for describing the meat like that. Thank you.
Could have like gone a step further. So tasty.
If it was so tasty, I would have laughed.
I was picturing in my mind, like, imagine like a shot in the distance, just kind of showing the landscape. And then you hear somebody in the distance really loudly goes, "So tasty." And then it like cuts to a shot of them like digging into their mouth and just like, rah, 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 rah. Like, that would have been funny. There could have been so much more fan service. This movie could have had so much more personality instead of being this bland, drab, two-dimensional piece of Hollywood crap.
During this scene where they're eating well-done steak from Monster Hunter, Tony Jaa pulls out a nondescript bottle of some kind of liquid. This was their moment where they could have been like, this is a potion, or this is a cool drink, or this is an energy drink. But no, he gives it to Artemis. She takes a sip. She's like, whoa, that's strong. And then we never get any indication of what it was.
I mean, nothing. We know what it is. We've seen the animations after you eat the meal and you're sitting at the table still. Get up on the table, swinging your ale around. Like, we know what it was.
That's like such a disappointing option amidst the entirety of beverages in Monster Hunter that they could have used.
Pretty sure they just made it. That's not chocolate joke right there.
Yeah, they did.
It's chocolate. Tony was like, chocolate. And she's like, this is not chocolate. This is alcohol. This is. Could have played it straight. Yeah,
we should mention they shoved this chocolate joke down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
They never stop calling back to it for the rest of the movie.
Because it's the only like slightly okay part.
The hunter's logic is that all food is called chocolate. So instead of the word food, it's just chocolate. And
yeah.
They use and abuse it a whole movie. Oh.
They're having this kind of tender moment. And I can't remember if they go to sleep or if it's next when Rathalos shows up. Rathalos flies overhead and sets fire to a portion of the forest, which causes the Apsaroses to stampede. And that is when the rest of the guild show up. We have the Admiral as well as the Sirius Handler. Sirius Handler uses her claw shot. She saves the hunter from the Apsaros, who were going to run him off the edge of a cliff. And Artemis fights side by side with the Admiral using her dual blades. And he's using his switch axe, which I can't even begin to call a switch axe. Because he never changes the mode. It's just an axe the whole time. Logan, I know you're frothing at the mouth about this.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that, like, this should have been near the beginning of the movie.
You think?
Like, at the very beginning of the movie, like, okay, let's say we're keeping the isekai stuff, right? And they come into this new world. They should have been thrown into this hunting area, right? Then been like, oh, what's happening? And all of a sudden, they see these Apsaros, and then they're like, oh my god, look at, they're kind of scary, but they're peaceful. They just eat, you know, vegetation, drink water and whatnot. And then all of a sudden there's this, you know, big roar from like a Rathian, you know. Probably just a Rathian, right? Just introduce like a Rathian. It's not that hard, right? and then they run, and then all of a sudden they're saved by these hunters and whatnot, and then the whole story starts, right? Hey, you know, we're these hunters, and we're part of this guild, and oh, we're gonna take you back to our base area. Oh, and we're gonna try to explain this world to you, and then we're gonna go hunting. We're going to put this at the end of the movie and also screw up the weapons.
So, I mean, I think one of the biggest problems with this movie, and we'll definitely get into it even more, but like from start to the very end, this movie is like an intro to something bigger. And then it ends.
It's an intro to something intro that's never coming.
It ends when it starts, man. That's how it is.
Remember when they started actually doing the monster hunting in a group?
Oh, we're going to get to that. We have a couple more steps before we get there. So, mind you, this is like an hour and 10 minutes into the movie already. Possibly longer. So the probably fight longer with the Apsaros ends, and that's when we find out that the Admiral, played by Ron Perlman, can speak English. And he punches Artemis in the face and knocks her out.
Just hauls back. He says, sorry. Just knocks her out.
She wakes up in a cage with the serious handler, the handler, and the excitable Fiverr watching her through the gate, being like, oh, look, it's a human from the real world. Look, she does stuff.
They're just being rude for no reason. Like, yeah, it's weirdly so weird out of character. Like, I don't think there are many rude characters in Monster Hunter. I don't pay attention too much, but, like, none are, like,
they don't typically capture other human beings and then treat them like garbage.
I don't even think they really, like, even if they perceived her as a threat, you'd think that after fighting side by side with her, they wouldn't have put her in a cage.
Yeah, the first thing he does is punches her.
She helps him fight the
Apsaros. There's no conversation like, who are you? Why are you here? I'm suspicious of you, but not suspicious enough to just deck you in the face, right?
She thanked him for the help. And then he's like,
it's like the worst kind of punch, too. Like, he didn't even throw his back into it. He just goes, boom, and knocks her out.
This was a check for Ron Perlman, let me tell you.
So, eventually, Mia escapes the cage, I guess, apparently, and then goes to the top of the ship and meets with the Admiral. And the Admiral's like, okay, my hunter friend here explained everything to me. Something that probably should have been done on the, from the beginning of our meeting and not at this point. And then he starts explaining that humans from the real world have crossed over into their world before. This isn't a new thing. And that's why he can speak English. I picked it up.
Smart. Also, we skipped over the Meowskiller Chef introduction.
That's what I was going to say.
Go for
right
it.
Over it. She busts loose from her shackles, her iron shackles, gets down into the bottom of the ship where there's just meat hanging everywhere, and then she goes to, I think, eat something because she's still starving, I think, another point where she's starving at least or something, but she went to the food, and out of nowhere comes out the CGI Meowskiller Chef who's like, hey, don't touch my food, and he's just meowing and hissing at her, and Tony Jaa's like, don't. And that's Meowskiller Chef. That's only one of two scenes three scenes he's in. That's it.
But he stole the spotlight when he was there.
Yeah, he gets this beautiful moment where like he's carefully crafting a dish just like you'd see in Monster Hunter. And it's beautiful. Like he puts the little parsley on the top of the meat at the end. Logan.
I think I speak for all of us when I say this is like objectively the most Monster Hunter moment like in the entire movie, just from tone absolutely. And personality. Like even when they get to actual monster hunting, like it doesn't hit like this is like, oh my God. Like for that moment, I was like kind of come up to breathe for air or something like that. Like there was like, oh my God, I don't hate myself in this moment.
I think, yeah, there's like, in the 2-hour runtime of this movie, there are like three moments where it's like Monster Hunter starts to show itself a little bit. The first moment was the beginning on the ship. It was very reminiscent of Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. It was cool. It was just the ship going through the desert, and instead of Goran, whatever his name, Moran?
Jen Moran.
Mm-hmm. It's Diablos. Then it's the chef at the bottom of the ship. And then towards the end of the movie, there's another Monster Hunter moment. But we haven't got to that yet. So,
real quick, though, I just want to point out the movie's runtime was an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, it felt like forever.
It felt much longer than that. Back to the Admiral. We find out that there's an ancient civilization. They had some means of transporting between the two worlds. I honestly checked out at this point because I just didn't care at all. They're like, Rathalos is the protector of this technology for some reason.
Also, there's a tower.
Well, there's towers in Monster Hunter and random castles, I guess.
Well, it's just this particular tower.
What I can say.
And there's nothing around it.
With this really dumb Rathalos protecting thing. I recently watched a Monster Hunter video series by a guy named, I believe, Super Rad. There is, in Monster Hunter Frontier, the game I never got to play. You know, it was Korea, it was Japan. You had to have a Korean social security number to play it. So, yeah. It was a mode introduced during Z where you go into a tower to collect loot, and the lore behind it is that the Wyverians who did the tower or something left the monsters there to protect it. So maybe somehow PTA landed
Paul
on
Anderson's
this?
Like super deep Monster Hunter knowledge knew like, about this really specific Monster Hunter like lore from a country.
I'm trying to give you
an online RPG.
I'm really trying to give you the benefit.
That's impressive.
I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, because the ancient civilization is a part of Monster Hunter lore that hasn't been super delved into. It's alluded to a lot in the games. We even meet ancient Wyverians in Monster Hunter World itself. So, like, I don't care what stupid explanations they have for this or that. Like, it's fine, I guess. But they're like, the Admiral doesn't want the two worlds to cross over because, like you guys mentioned earlier, he thinks it would, you know, it would be calamity for his world. We later find out that the opposite is actually true. But they decide to lead an expedition to the tower to study it and figure out, you know, how to close the portal, how to send Artemis back to her world, and ultimately face Rathalos in order to do it. And then we get this explanation about Rathalos, where the Admiral states that he's at his weakest right before he breathes fire. And I want to punch whoever came up with that. Squarely in the throat.
They make Rathalos sound like he's, like, invincible. Outside of that one little fact.
They're like, you can't kill a Rathalos, but he is weak before he breathes fire.
That's
one,
it.
You can definitely kill a Rathalos, and two, no, he's not. They just make up this BS explanation for how you can beat a Rathalos, and it's awful. But they get to the tower, and it's raining, and we have a crew of hunters with actual weapons, like the longsword, the switch axe, maybe those were the only two, actually.
Longsword, dual blades, switch axe,
sword and shield,
bow, and...
I think sword and shield was there.
And there was an insect glaive there, I'm pretty sure.
During this section of the movie?
Real quick.
As opposed to the very end.
There was one at the very end, too, but someone else, they had some...
They missed a real opportunity by killing off all of her, like... soldier comrades, because they all could have shown up right then with bow guns had they just like, oh, we got separated.
But look, we learned how to monster hunt using weapons we're familiar with.
For sure. There was no hammer. I did not see a hammer. There was no bow guns, light or heavy. They didn't have any of the frontier weapons because, I mean, we don't even have the frontier weapons. They kept it really basic.
I don't recall there being a lance.
Oh, there was no lance or gun lance either. There was no fun weapons. It was, you get a sword and shield, you get a really big axe, you get two swords.
You get a long sword. The guy with the long sword actually is murdered by Rathalos.
There's instant murder.
Rathalos comes in, uses his fire breath, and kills two hunters on the spot. They don't even get a chance to fight.
Commentary on like Paul Anderson's like weapons of choice. He's like, lance,
basic.
That's trash. Longsword, you use it, you're gonna get killed immediately. Dual blades.
He uses weapons that are like easier for people not familiar with Monster Hunter to digest, but they're like also the most basic, like everyday you'd see this in real life weapons, except for the axe. The axe is probably the most fun weapon that they decide to use outside of the insect glaive, which is later.
There's no charge blade either.
No. That said, the Admiral uses a move using his switch axe where he slams it down into the ground and a burst of energy comes out. That's a charge blade attack that they slapped onto the switch axe.
Oh, my God.
So what did you guys think of this fight scene?
I was too focused on Ron Perlman, his busted-ass wig. I was too focused on it. It was so bad.
It was really, really not a good look.
It was raining. The wig was just drenched, and it was just falling, because it's, like, based off of World's, like, Admiral's, like, crazy lion's mane hair, and then he's, Ron Perlman's hair is, like, blonde, and it has red stuff on it, and then it just falls, and it's disgusting, and I'm supposed to take this man seriously?
I think you summed up my thoughts on that whole fight after the fact when you asked me, do I remember, like, them ever, like, actually hitting Rathalos? Because there's just a bunch of shots of them, like, swinging, and then, like, shots of, like, an unidentified part of Rathalos kind of getting hit slightly.
Jovovovovich definitely hits him with dual blades.
It seemed like she was, like, standing, like, a mile away going, like,
eh. Right, she doesn't hit him on the tower. She does hit him later, but the shots of her swinging the dual blades in this section are all, like, hyper-zoomed in on her face. So you see her swinging, but you can't see what she's attacking, if she's even landing any blows. So, like, they mask any damage being dealt, which makes this just feel so uneventful. But the worst part...
It was an actual opportunity. I think the thing that they were missing, like, the whole movie is, like, the small bits of damage, breaking different parts, cutting off the tail... Like, those little bits that make a Monster Hunter fight the Monster Hunter fight, and they just glossed over it.
What they don't gloss over, however, is the fact that this is an isekai, and we go back to Earth.
It's instantaneous.
She jumps off of the cliff into the portal, lands back in the desert that she started in, completely unconscious. A helicopter shows up there to rescue her, and they start flying away. And she's still coming to. She's not sure if what she experienced was real or if she was hallucinating. Until Rathalos goes through the portal too and starts just ripping this helicopter to shreds.
It's so
I mean, destroying it.
The whole scene, just too jarring, dude.
It really is.
Middle of the fight with a Rathalos just started. People dying. Oh, we're back in Earth now. Okay, I know what's going to happen. Rathalos is here. Rathalos comes and just messes everybody up. Oh, my God.
There was something kind of nice about watching Rathalos literally just destroy people and destroy all of the parts of this movie I hate. All the real world stuff. He's just like, nah, I ain't about that. And he just starts blowing everything up. Mila Jovovich then, you know, finally comes to... And then starts looking for weapons. But she's not just looking for any weapons. They make you think she's looking for her dual blades. But that's not what she's looking for. She's looking for explosives. And this is the part of the movie that quite possibly made me the angriest. They spend so much of the movie trying to convince you that real world weaponry doesn't work on the monsters. Only to, at the climax of the film, have Mila utilize real world weaponry to defeat Rathalos.
But it was slinger ammo. It's fine. Real world slinger ammo.
We do get a Rathalos short section.
In the stupidest way.
Yes. I mean, we do get a couple shots of her actually landing blows with the dual blades. Like, there's one part where she cuts through his wing, I think.
Yeah, she jumps on and carves down.
Yeah. Cool.
Which was one of those, like, scale-bending parts where, like, oh, look at how big his wing is. Like, it's a giant sail.
Yeah. The monster scaling of this movie is really weird. But she remembers the Admiral telling her that the monster, the Rathalos, is weakest right before he breathes fire. So she throws these explosives into his mouth. And then he blows up.
His whole throat just boom. And you see the flames all shooting out. It's really visceral. Like, once again, like this Western brutality you don't see in Monster Hunter. It's just there. It's like, yeah, this is how we kill Rathalos.
Which is then, funny because doesn't his fire burn hotter than anything like the human world weaponry can like produce?
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly.
We, in the very beginning of the movie, there's just burnt sand everywhere, and it's glass, and it shatters. And Mia Jovovovovich is like, what happened?
What happened? And he's, you like, know, really quick, Rathalos. Harley, every time you say Jovovich, do you add an extra vo?
Do you know how many vos are in the last name? There's a lot.
Jovovovovovovich?
There's a lot of vovos in Vovovovovich's name. I can't pronounce it very well. You just got to roll
Vovo
with
now.
It. It's just Vovo. I'll agree to that.
So destroyed throat Rathalos falls down, presumably dead. Artemis starts celebrating, and that's when Rathalos is like, ha ha, I'm still alive, and then gets up.
Frank, look at the cameras.
Before ultimately being killed by the hunter who used a bomb arrow and blew him up right in the wounded part of his throat. And then Rathalos dies. And then all of my enthusiasm for anything in this world died along with it. Because Rathalos died in quite possibly the worst way I have ever seen. It was so unsatisfying. It's like, you know, they beat Diablos in a relatively Monster Hunter way. And the same could even be said of Nersilla. But they beat Rathalos using a mixture of real world and Monster Hunter world stuff. That makes it seem like that without Mila's military weaponry, they couldn't have beaten Rathalos. And that just feels like the biggest insult to Rathalos to me. Because he's supposed to be fierce, but he's also a monster from Monster Hunter. The hunters should have been able to beat him.
Yeah. Yeah. They really should have. They underpowered them. It just, whole damn movie is stupid. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I'm not even sure if I have anything to say anymore that wouldn't just be repeating what I've been repeating. And I think I'm getting a headache from talking about this.
I mean, that's good.
This way, like, for me, my bar for just, like, being entertained by a movie is stupid low. Like, I have a really good suspension disbelief going into any movie. And I can, like, I can overlook a lot and still enjoy a movie, but there was just so much that was just so off at every different step that I could not enjoy myself. This very, very rarely happens for me. Like, to say, like, I wasn't expecting it to be a good Monster Hunter movie, like, it wasn't. I just wanted an okay movie, and they didn't give me that.
And we haven't even gotten to the worst part of the entire experience for me personally.
The start of the movie?
No, the end of the movie. So Rathalos is dead. We find out that the Admiral also jumped through the portal. And that they find that there is another threat coming through the portal that they have to fend off. And then they're going to jump back through and close the portal off. Like, that's their plan. We're gonna close this for good. And we're gonna save the two worlds from each other. So the portal opens up, and we see the tower. And standing on the top of the tower is Gormagala. Out of nowhere.
My boy. What did they
and
do to
here
my
he
boy?
Comes. His menacing self flies through the portal. And Mila Jovovich, the Admiral, and the Hunter get ready to fight. The hunter pulls out an insect glaive and does the whole jump animation and everything. It's a lightning weapon, too, which is new. And then, yes, the two parties fly at each other, and the fight's about to start, and the movie ends.
Just
that's the end of
the
movie.
The ending of, what, Spider-Man 2 with Rhino, the Amazing Spider-Man?
Was oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, just think about how they did the trailer for that was, where the whole trailer was like, oh, Spider-Man's going to fight Rhino and Electro. No, the Rhino fight was at the very end, and they cut off as soon as they started fighting. In this one, they put my boy Gore Magala in, and then ended the movie as soon as you started fighting Gore Magala.
We could have cut 30 minutes of Artemis fighting the Hunter and, like, actually had a decent fight at the very end.
The worst part about this whole thing isn't even, like, that they bring Gore Magala in and then not do anything with him. It's the fact that they tease an actual Monster Hunter fight with a party of hunters versus one monster, like, traditional Monster Hunter style, and then end the movie right before you even get to see it. So, like, that tells me that the filmmakers knew exactly what a Monster Hunter movie should have looked like, and they willingly didn't do that.
I mean, it could be also like
oh, go ahead. Ah, dang it. Go ahead.
Okay,
Paul Anderson.
They could have, like, they probably knew what it should have been, decided they weren't going to do that, and then last second, like, a couple of, like, decent video game movies came out, and they're like, oh, crap. Actually, maybe we should try and deliver. And so they, like, retconned the very, very end and, like, just kind of scooted that little bit in. Maybe the fans will be upset with my techniques.
They said,
here's a little sprinkle.
They said, Paul Thomas Anderson, have you beaten Ursula yet? He goes, no, guys, I'm really stuck. We got to get this story moving forward. And that's the movie Monster Hunter. All because of that.
We do get a brief post-credit scene, which shows us a top-down view of this fight from inside the Monster Hunter world. Looking very much like the kind of hunt I would have expected, with the hunters jumping around, attacking the monster as a team. And we get a shot of a figure looming overhead and watching, which we presume is an ancient Wyvarian. Before cutting to the Meowskular chef showing up, pulling out a flaming weapon and joining the hunt as a Palico. And then cutting again.
Yep.
So not only did they tease you once with an actual Monster Hunter fight, they had the gall, the absolute stone cold balls to do it a second time.
I think I'm just like imagining them in the writer's room just being like somebody had to have bring this up, right? Like they had to have like some like veteran hunter on the writing staff and being like, okay, you know, we got to fit in, like, this part, right? We got to make sure that there's, like, a full party of four hunting a singular monster, because that's what you do when you play Monster Hunter. And somebody was like, no. And then they got to, like, near the end. We're like, okay, we need to do this. We need to actually put this in the film. And somebody realized that later on. It's like, yeah, maybe we should. But we're not going to fix it. We'll just do a sequel. So let's just write in something at the very end to make it look like we're going to do a sequel, even though there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee.
I think he was like way too confident going into this project that he would get a sequel. He's like, oh, it's Monster Hunter. They gave me like 7 Resident Evil movies. Like, of course I'm going to have a sequel.
He only directed 2 of those, too. He abandoned that franchise after the second film.
If they let Paul Anderson direct another Monster Hunter film, I can't say what will happen or what I will do, but it's not going to be pretty.
So, you know, they did a similar thing with the Sonic movie, right? Where they don't fully commit to the world of Sonic, but then they promise you the full world of Sonic with the sequel. But the difference is that the Sonic the Hedgehog movie at least let Sonic be Sonic the Hedgehog. They didn't let the Monster Hunters be Monster Hunters, and for that reason, this tactic doesn't work in this case. In fact, it makes it worse. It felt like an insult, not only to Monster Hunter fans, just but to moviegoers, by promising them this idea of Monster Hunter, and then doing a bait and switch in the very last few seconds of the movie of, you know, pretending that it's going to actually have a Monster Hunter fight. It's downright insulting.
They needed that like Doom moment from like the original Doom movie where it gets first person then just goes. Wasn't it's like they the like started the that. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's the same thing, but like they actually like use it.
There is a, I think there is something that we can learn from this, right? Very applicable, and grounded like understanding of like, you know, and I don't want to trivialize like more serious and like more serious things, but representation, right? And when we talk about representation, why is representation important? Because the product, if representation is to be accurate, needs to include the demographic, right? Because they have an insight that other people don't, right? And that's why you can't just have you know, a bunch of people who don't play Monster Hunter making a Monster Hunter movie, because then you get this.
Yeah.
That's what happens, you know, and it happens with a million other things, but it like, it's so in your face right here. It's like, no, nobody actually played this. If they did, they didn't really play the game. They kind of played the game, right?
They made it again, the first like, boss monster, couldn't get past it and stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like me playing like Monster Hunter Tri for the first time, buying it for $20 on the Wii, and then giving up after like playing a mission and not understanding the game at all.
This isn't even like a Cliff Notes version of Monster Hunter. This is the pitch piece of Monster Hunter to Capcom before the first game was made.
It's
this was the test footage.
You want to like? Do you guys remember watching the actual leaked footage before this movie became what it was? Did you guys? I know Brandon did.
I've seen it. Yeah,
it was the footage of Rathalos and Gore fighting in a museum.
Yeah, it looked like they were fighting in like New York City or something.
Yeah, like there was footage. And that entire leak is better than this whole movie. that's what it is, dude, cuz the monsters were fighting and it was just like test footage. It was so good. It was good. We're going to get Gore Magala and Rathalos and who knows what. And then it's just this. It's just this movie. So draining, yeah. Dude.
It's really upsetting that this happened. And that the movie ended up being as poor as it is. It's doing surprisingly well critically in other ways, though. Like it's sitting
because critics haven't seen movies since like early 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But even if I wasn't a Monster Hunter fan, I don't think I would have liked this movie at all.
I mean, that's what I've been trying to say. Like I was trying to like separate my like disappointment from like a Monster Hunter fan perspective and just like put myself in a moviegoer position, and I still couldn't enjoy it.
Oh, totally. This thing had terrible pacing, terrible acting,
terrible
didn't make
writing.
Sense. Terrible writing, didn't make sense. Terrible, oh my God, terrible editing. Holy crap.
And terrible fight scenes.
Was what the only thing good was the monster design. That's it. That's it. They made scary monsters. That's pretty much
the monster
much
designs,
it.
Very, very small snippets of set design. And then a lot of the prop design is on point, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they have all of these great parts, but the things they're attaching to are completely unrelated. So I'm going to go ahead and give this movie the lowest possible score, being please never watch it.
It's not
F,
worth it.
F. Can we get some F's in the chat?
It's really
yeah, for real.
I'll give it a point.
Put
five
this movie
star.
To bed.
A point 0.5 out of 10?
A point 0.5
I'll give it a
star rating.
So
please don't give it a sequel. Please don't greenlight
it. The only reason anybody should watch this film is if they don't pay any extra money for it. If it ends up on a service you're already paying for, go ahead, try it out.
Get smashed.
But don't spend money on this. Don't spend $100 renting out a theater. Don't spend $50 renting out a theater. Don't spend $10 on this film.
Don't
just
do the
$3
bargain bin DVD.
It's not worth it. It will just drain. It's one of those movies, and I'm not even confident to say that it is one of those movies that you absolutely should watch on like one of those like, oh, let's watch a bad movie night, right? There are better bad movies, better worse bad, better better better, worse movies you can watch on a bad movie night.
It transcends, you know, so bad it's good, just to straight up bad.
It's not endearing. It has no endearing qualities. It's not going to get a...
No.
If this movie gets a cult following in 20 years, I'm going to be upset. I that's what the issue is here. Like, it's,
I mean, I think like a group of fans can have fun with it if their whole goal is to like tear it apart, like we have.
Wow.
But that's the only,
I
want to
see.
Like,
I want to see a fan
of
cut
it.
Of this film. I want somebody to take the film, recut it, and have it be better than what it is.
Have a group of Monster Hunter fans do like a riff track and watch that. That would be a better time than just watching the movie.
Honestly,
that's essentially what this podcast was.
If yeah. we just had a movie playing in the background, did a live track of that. Oh my god, so good! I would have.
You should have
it.
Heard the absolute screaming in the theater after the movie ended, because there was a lot of anger in that theater. Oh my god. So yeah,
I'm sorry
that's
to give
Monster
you guys
Hunter.
More commentary.
That
I had a lot of commentary.
That's the Monster Hunter movie.
I just signed it silently to my wife.
Don't watch it unless you're completely and utterly prepared to have wasted your time. And I don't say that lightly.
Make sure you watch a better movie afterwards to rinse your taste.
I did that. I watched haven't. Weathering with you on HBO Max.
It's been
should.
A week. The last thing I saw was Monster Hunter. I gotta watch a movie tonight or tomorrow or something, man. Ugh.
Before we close, Cosmic_Bones, the underscore isn't silent. Can you please tell us where we can find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at @TheCosmicBones. Give me a follow. I tweet video game things, sad boy things, and I tweet when I make a video, which is every now and then, I promise. You can also find my YouTube link is in my Twitter description. You should subscribe to me. I make videos. They're pretty cool. I think that's the only places you can find me right now. You should help me hit 100 subscribers, though, so I can actually make my custom URL. So just go do that.
Let me add your links to our description, too.
That's good.
I'm going to add the...
This is Gore Magala.
he was in the movie.
This was a production value for this podcast. The bill is outrageous. It's also just a really good statue that I got myself for my birthday last year. Highly recommend. That's all my spiel.
So thanks for sitting with us and letting us vent out our disappointment, our anger, our frustrations with Monster Hunter the movie. I'm so frazzled by this movie, I don't even know what to say. If you liked this podcast, leave a like on the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't. If you're listening to this on podcast sources, we're available everywhere. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and watch these live. We broadcast them live on the channel. And you can be part of our live audience and interact with us during the show. But until then, I guess we'll be back next week with episode 81 of Nintendo Stuff. And maybe we'll have some news that don't make us feel this bad as we get closer to the release of Monster Hunter Rise on March 26th. But we'll see you guys next time. Don't break your backs. Break in the games. But for now, break time is over.